people say Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Tayata Mune Mune Mahamunaye Soha Tayata Mune Mune Mahamunaye Soha And the four immeasurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. San Chen Tam Che De turn the page, we'll say the Chen Raising Mantra eight times. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. And Green Tara's mantra seven times. Om Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. Maybe begin with the meditations, okay? First, I will read this here from this book. It's called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. Wonderful book. Very beneficial if you read randomly. This book has eight chapters. If you read these books randomly, there's a lot of wonderful message that can help how to improve our mind. Mm-hmm. So this book has been taught 8th century Buddhist scholar Shantideva, called Shivala. In Tibetan word is called Shivala. Shanti means peace. Sanskrit word Shanti means peace. So next time when you go to India, if somebody tells you Shanti, Shanti, that means same as like calm down. Yeah, this means peace, peace. So Shantideva, that's his name. 8th century Buddhist, like scholar, great thinker, wise man, great philosopher, great practitioner. It has eight chapters. Then chapter number 6 has dense information, how to deal with anger. Okay, how to deal with anger. So chapter number 6, I think, has dense information, very base, or it's like, it's not based on religious belief, it's based on practical day-to-day life realities, how to deal with anger. The stanza I'm going to read, a couple of those from the chapter number 5, is called Shichin. In Tibetan words called Shichin, that means guarding alertness. That's how they translate it, guarding alertness. So beginning of the chapter. The reason, maybe some of you are here, maybe like have interest or maybe wondering about meditations. So Shantideva already talks, in 8th century, now many centuries ago, 8th century, these books is written in 8th centuries. So at that time, he talks also about meditation. So now here, maybe Chukla, you read, your English is probably much better than my English. Sometimes I have trouble breaking the words. So then I will look, from the beginning. Yeah. So then I will look at Tibetan books, okay? Much better for me. Can you read the first stanza, please?
Those who wish to guard their practice should very attentively guard their minds, for those who do not guard their minds will be unable to guard their practice.
So now here, the practice, it's called labha, labha practice. There's like three different types of labha. When you talk about labha or practice, there's like, sometimes they translate like three trainings, the way they translate it. Ethics, first one, ethics. Then second one is called concentration. Then last one is called wisdom. These are, this here the word practice refers to these three things: ethics, concentrations, then wisdom. Wisdom liberates. Concentration produces calm mind, peaceful mind. In order to develop concentrations according to this message, which has been taught in 8th century. In order to reach highest level of concentrations, the base is ethic. Okay, so that's the reason I'm reading these books, then you know that what we are doing, it has souls, rather than just, so I just made it up last night. It's not like that. It has souls. It's been taught many centuries ago. It's good to know. So they're saying, like the beginning of the water has to link to the snow. Similarly, all the teaching has to link to somewhere, rather than, like, only a couple of days old. Okay, so that's one primary reason. So why, now it's come down guarding mind. So that is like whoever has mind. It's not just somebody who believes in something. This is practice for those who ever have a mind. If you want to learn how to guard their minds, so that's sentient awareness, okay? So then, second one, please.
In this world, unsubdued and crazed elephants are incapable of causing such harms as the miseries of the deepest hell, which can be caused by the unleashed elephant of my mind.
So then, please, second one. Then I'll do meditation. Okay.
But if the elephant of my mind is firmly bound on all sides by the rope of mindfulness, all fears will cease to exist and all virtues will come into my hand.
So the last one, just literally translation, virtue. So when I say virtue, what do you think? What are you thinking? Virtue. Something good? Oh, that's good then. Oh, I think it has to be something good. You know, saying nice words, thinking something nice, doing something nice, these are all virtues, okay? That's what we call, this is like technical term, actually like doing something nice, thinking something positive, or then saying something nice, then harsh. So these are all positive. Sake of your own happiness, okay? Sake of your own happiness. So now, because of this, so now meditation makes sense in order to, like I say, mindfulness. Now you see, I've been saying this many, many times. Now you see, Chanditdeva also said, mindfulness is like rope. Mind is like elephant. So now you see here. So there are many, many other books. You know, they also, before Chanditdeva or maybe after Chanditdeva, then also some other, like Buddhist scholar, they also said that Simchi Langbo, mind like elephant, or Simchi Langbo, Mikbe Kawa, Mikbam is object, like pillar, Mikbe Kawa, Tembo means something firm, because the elephant is strong, so make sure we need firm pillar to tie that. Rope here, mindfulness is like rope, so then tie. There means concentrate. Why? It will produce, it will make your mind calm, peaceful. That's it. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. Just to make your mind calm. Or maybe the elephant, that elephant calm. No, so you concentrate. Okay? So now, what we'll do? There are many, many different types of meditations. So one that we have been doing many Sunday class, so what we call like breathing meditation, okay? Breathing meditations. So if you are here first time, so there are today maybe I'll probably explain. You know, there are like how you say seven sitting positions. It's important to learn. So if you think meditation has, you know, meditation will help. To make my mind calm. Much more than beer, yeah, much more than beer. So then, you know, then I think it's good to, as I said, wisdom liberates, we have to learn. So there's like sitting, the seven sitting positions. When you meditate, there are seven different, there are seven sitting positions that you follow. So why we learn that? When we do it well. Otherwise, why we do? There's no reason. Nobody says that you have to do meditations. No, we are doing by voluntarily, deliberately, with the hope there will be some, you know, benefits in my for my mind. So first, you know, there's like the legs. If you're sitting on the cushions, so then the legs, you know, that's called cross leg. Actually, like full cross leg is quite challenging. So then you need to see both of your heels, both of your sole, you have to see that on your lap. That's not easy to do. So you don't give up. What you do, that's called half water cross. So if you cannot do that, there's another alternative. So that's how the monks usually we sit in the monastery. So like Yeah, so then you don't need to see your soul on your lap. So maybe like that or like this, yeah. That's how you sit. Okay, comfortable. Then sit comfortable. Let's go. That's the first one. Then hand. Like this. Four finger below your, how is it, belly button. I think it's okay to sit like this too. It doesn't matter, you know. Sometimes they sit, you know, when you do yoga, they sit like this. So only reason I can think of, you know, like this, you know, they are like, So when you visualize something, you know, there are five different spots on your body. That's where you visualize. Here, two, then three and four, five, something like that. That's five. So then that's why, you know, it's not just empty. Just you are visualizing something inside your hand. That's only I can think of. You know, when they sit, you know, I might be wrong, but, you know, that's only I can think of, you know, so why did you sit like this? But in Tibetan tradition, we don't sit like this. We sit like this. You touch this whole shape. There's like significant meaning why you sit like this, you know, but we are not going to talk about this now. So then kangba, so then the first one's leg, then hand, there's two. So now third one's is back. Make sure, you know, you sit like uncooked Italian pasta. Okay? Uncooked Italian pasta. So they say, you know, if you sit, according to the text, it says you should sit like if you stack up the coin. So I think the Italian pasta, uncooked Italian pasta, much better. You know, just one piece, there's no mean two piece to put on. Just put it on. Actually, like straight. Okay. Not like cooked with the tomato. Then it's no good. So that's become cooked. That's called cooked Italian pasta. Pasta is a long one. Yeah, that's exactly. That's a long one. Not the spaghetti. That would be. Okay, then spaghetti is not pasta. It's spaghetti. So the long one where you don't cook. If you just sit very straight like this, okay. Oh, there's been a mistake long time ago. Now, like uncooked spaghetti, okay, no pasta. So anyway, the bottom line is like, you know, to sit straight, okay. That's the point. That's the whole point. Oh, it's, you know, kamba lapa. There's now three: leg, hand, back. So then, shoulder. You know, shoulder needs to be relaxed, you know, like comfortable. Sometimes you sit, people sit like this, that's also no good, you know. Has to be comfortable. This is all about knowledge. I think it's important to learn, you know, when you make, like. So then, make sure you don't touch all the way in, because that will, you know, generate more heat, no good. So you're supposed to leave some gap between arm and the body, so there's, you know, air run through. That's number four. Like that's how there's no. So then, head. No, needs to be a little bit, you know, down, a little bit down. So you can't meditate if you just look around, you can't meditate, you know. So, in, like a little bit down, like this. So then eyes, you know, if eyes automatically close, that's fine. And eyes should be supposed to open a little bit. You know, so like looks down like tip of your nose, something like that, you know, tip of your nose. So then this number five, then six, seven, lip, tongue, tooth, yeah. This count one. Lip, tongue, teeth count one, there's seven. Okay? One, two, three, four, five, six. All this goes seven. So then, you know, this has to be very natural. Okay, very natural. You don't materialize this. There's no good. It has to be natural. So then tip of the tongue should be touched, lip with upper palate. Oh, yeah. So that took me a long time how to pronounce that word. So I usually say plate, plate. Nobody understands the palate. Okay. Touch your tip of the tongue on your palate. So that will supposed to prevent you from getting thirsty. Okay. Prevent. So this is, you know, so then, as I said, it's been taught hundred years ago, many, many years ago. That's how you sit. So this is also, you know, important, you know, because one of the Tibetan masters called Marpa, the Milarepa, probably you may heard about Milarepa, his master Marpa, he said, in Tibet, there's many people do meditations, but none of them can compete the way I sit. That means he sit very properly. So this is, you know, all has to do with, you know, chakras, channels, energies, how that runs through channels. That's why, you know, it's important to sit straight, okay? So now with that, what we are going to do, we watch our breath, okay? Our breath is now like pillar, okay? Our breath is like pillar. So the mindfulness, what we need to be mindful, we need to be mindful. So say, exhale from nose, exhale. If you're having difficulty, you can say out. So then, inhale, then you count one, okay? That's the easiest way to do meditations. Exhale, inhale. So that's what we need to be mindful. Each time when you inhale, you count. You can do this 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Oh, you can do. So we'll do that. Oh. So then, you may hear, you know, somebody's phone may ring. Somebody may knock on the door, you hear, but you don't follow them, you know. So your job is now to tie your mind with this counting, in and out, counting. You know, the mindfulness is like rope, okay. So then if your mind is on, if your mind counts correctly, so that means elephant is tied, okay. If you're not sure, okay, this is number 3 or 4, so then we have to start from scratch. That's how you tie, there's one way to tie this elephant into the pillar. Reason, it will make your mind calm. That's all, okay? So we'll do this. It's clear now? Okay. In, out. At the beginning, if you may need to put some effort, that's okay. But eventually, when you become familiar, it has to be natural. Because it said we breathe in and out 21,000 times a day. It says 21,000 times a day we breathe in and out. But out of that, how many we are aware? In my case, zero, no, none. So I'm not sure about your case, but my case, no, zero. So unless I do this breathing meditation, then I'm aware. How much, you know, breath I, how much breath, exhale, inhale, okay? So we'll start. So then I saw this, you know, the descriptions on the internet of these breathing meditations. They say smoke out, light in. It's not just smoke out, light in. It's much more than that. So there's on the internet I saw some website that where they describe these meditations. So you can conjoin these meditations with, you know, visualizations. That's what they're trying to say. Visualization is out, you know, all the physical problems, the problem in the mind. So then you visualize that it's a form of something black. When you exhale, it goes out of your body, out of the house, then out of the, you know, universe, something like that. When you inhale, so then, you know, as a Buddhist, so we visualize, you know, this holy objects. So then we visualize drawing the blessings from that holy object. So you can also, you know, like element do possess energy element. The reason I'm saying this not from because I have, you know, scientific minds. So the reason I'm saying this, and there's one practice called Qule means taking essence, called Qule. People use flowers, flower, not the flower that we eat, flowers. What they do, they collect these flowers and they dry them, you know, then they make out of the f- flower, they make pills. People live with their life one pill a day. They just eat one pill. That's all they need. They don't need any food. They can live. So that means taking essence out of that. So now that practice, you know, before 1959, there are number of monks who are doing this practice because they were put into prison. Prison, there's nothing to eat. So, you know, so maybe some of them probably doing this practice in order to have, you know, enough food for everybody rather than just one person, you know, eating all of that. So that, anyway, divu chune, medo chune, medo is flower. Medo chune means taking essence out of flower. Divu chune means then you make what is called now the things that we flower. In Tibetan case, we have tsampa. So you make one round of tsampa. So that's what it. So there are, you know, certain mantra that you do, there's certain practice they, you know, involve with this new practice. So basically, they live their lives. So 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago, I was in India near Dharamsala. That's called Lotus Lake. According to the history, that's where the Padmasambhava was born, in this lake. That's, you know, in Lotus Lake, it's called Chopema. So Lake Pema is lotus. There's like holy site, Buddhist site. Top of the mountains, there's also one cave that's, you know, supposed to be where Padmasambhava was meditated long time ago. I visited there. There are many nuns, young nuns, doing retreat. I visited them to make some offering. You know, so I met one nun, and she's doing this practice, chunin practice. She's not divu chunin. She's making like pills, not out of flour, but out of other substance. And she's been doing this like 7 weeks or something like that. So I talked to her. Looks like, you know, she says in the first 2 weeks is very, very difficult. So now, you know, looks like she looks like healthy. She said now it's like, you know, she's doing fine. And some person, you know, they don't have a response to this kind of practice very well. Some people do. So she's, you know, doing that. That's the first time I saw from my own naked eye somebody who's doing this practice. Before I heard many times, you know, I'd never been in Tibet, you know, before 1959. So I met this nun. Oh, so she's doing this practice. Anyway, so my point back is like, you know, like visualizing, drawing the, as the energy, you know, from, as an element, okay, element. So then there could be tree, could be, you know, water, could be anything. So drawing that. Then when you inhale, you can just visualize. If you have nothing to visualize, any holy objects, so that's what you do. You know, so you visualize that. So then also one text says now the essence of those, you know, external objects is kind of deteriorating. So because of this practice not become very effective, because now we are losing essence even from the like external object like trees, you know, also they are, you know, used to have a lot of essence, you know, so now it's also because there's an environment effect, so there's also some losing that, some of them. So that's why that's what they mean, light in, smoke out. That means you visualize. Light in is a drawing energy, you know, so then you have to visualize. So it heals, you know, so then you visualize it's all going out. You know? So the mind is so powerful, you know, so certain things that you don't believe that it can be done, but it can be actually done through the power of mind, you know, if you can really concentrate. You know? So that's why I think, you know, meditation. Now, meditation means now, you know, doing one time, that's not enough, you know, so making familiar with this breathing technique, you know. So only way you can make familiar is like, you know, doing it again and again, again and again. Then it's good that you get benefit. Instead of hoping that, okay, someone else will do meditation for me, that's no good. So then you get benefit if you do these meditations, okay. So why you concentrate? This is like, concentration is out of three trainings, what is called in this book called practice. Three training. There's a third, the middle one, concentrations. why you concentrate. If somebody asks why you concentrate, because it will make your mind calm and peaceful. That's why you concentrate. No more, no less, that's it. Why you learn? Because learn will wisdom liberates. So then, you know, in order to do this, you know, the wisdom is the last one. Concentration is the second one. First one is ethic. No ethic. So, as what his own is called, like, you know, ethics is not just religion. It's like ethic beyond religions. There's something you need to think about, you know, ethic beyond religion. So it's like the, it's like kind of base. So there's, you know, so much, because of the whole this reason, so much sufferings through our day-to-day life has been caused by mind, believe or not. So that mind needs to be, you know, so taken care of. So there's way to take care of your mind, to concentrate, okay? Or another way you can say, putting all my attentions onto this breathing technique. So there's no, that's why it's concentrate. When you concentrate, especially if you are become obsessive with something, then this meditation is very good. No, so good. So then between, you know, there's a couple of meditations we've been done last Sunday. So today, so the new one, you know, so I will probably just explain. So reason I'm, you know, introducing this simple meditation here, being here last 15 years, what I notice, you know, you have so much things to do. Am I right? Every day, it's unbelievable, you know, I feel like there's no enough time. Even I'm not doing nothing. Feel like there's no enough time, you know, so, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, so much things to do. So then, you know, maybe something simple that can be done within short period of time doesn't require any prayer to say, you don't need to say any prayer, you just sit on comfortable cushions, you know, cushion needs to be a little bit like this, up, behind, back of the cushion should be a little bit up. Then you sit there very comfortably. The best way to begin meditation is like with, you know, altruistic attitude. Okay, altruistic attitude. It says every text begins with a Sanskrit. Similar, every meditation should begin with altruistic attitude. So mind that the mind attitude, you know, what kind of attitude? Attitude is being needed like to benefit or yourself or other people. So this kind of attitude. Comfortable cushions, comfortable body, comfortable mind, that's how you meditate. So then more likely that meditation is going to be productive rather than chicken meditations. Okay? Because chicken is just sit there, you know, so then do nothing. Okay? That's one way to stop thought. It's hard to just sit, think nothing. That's easy to say, but when it's come down to practical, it's so difficult to do. You sit there, you think something precisely. You put your all mental energy on that. So that's the way to stop other thoughts. Okay? These are simple meditations. So the now, should we do another meditation? No? You want to hear another one? Another meditation? Yeah. So this one, what do you do? You sit comfortably, whatever, you know, this is the way I explain, you know. But you don't have to do this, but you can also sit like this. But make sure the important thing is make sure the back is straight. That's more important, you know. So this is, I explain you exactly the way it's explained in the text. So that's why, you know, sit like this. Maybe, you know, like I say, maybe, you know, when you watch TV, you probably just go to watch like this, TV. You can change your channels again and again. If there's argument between watching TV, everybody sits like this and say, watch TV. Nobody can use the remote control. It says, you know, like, just sitting like this, you know, it will automatically, the way you sit like this, automatically you will overcome from so many distractions, automatically, sitting like this. So what you do now, you please visualize the light, the white light towards your belly button. Belly button, white light. Size doesn't matter. Size should be white. Okay, should be white. The shape, I think it says like the egg, egg. The size doesn't matter. Just visualize here. So that is, think, you know, that is your mind. Think, mind doesn't have color, so think that is your mind. It can be done, You have to think, you know, then there's white shape like egg, visualize towards your navels, then there's mind. So this method is called mixing your mind with the sky. Okay? Mixing your mind. Lung sim. Lung, energy. Same mind, lung sim. Namka is space or sky. Sky. Same is mixed. So that's exactly what we're trying to do. So here, visualize. First, let me explain. Visualize here. Towards your navel. Egg, shaped like egg, white. So think that's your mind. Okay? Pause there till you get some ideas. Then after that, you say a word, pe. Can you say pe?
Pe.
Not like pe, it's like it has to be strong. Pe. You know? Oh yeah, so this is no joke. It'd be loud. Then the power of that word shoots up this shape like egg, white color, from here, deep into sky. What you're thinking now? You are just thinking clear blue sky. That's all you're thinking. That is no different than your mind. That's called mixing your mind and energy with the sky. So go Dhamma is instructions. How to do that, mixing your mind with sky, mind and energy with sky, okay? So then when you say a word, pay, just visualize this form of this shape like X, you know, shoots up from the power of this word, shoots up deep into the sky. What are you thinking now? Clear blue sky, that's all you're thinking. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, so we'll now start, we'll do... Oh yeah, so I think you can also do, you know, when you go to the park, and just lay down, looking at the sky, clear sky. Probably you can also do the same thing like this, you know. I think you can just visualize. The mind, point is the mind become one with the sky. That's all, you know. So then hopefully this meditation will help. It's like lift up your spirit up, you know. Maybe hopefully it will help you to overcome from depression, some form of depression, okay? So now, last Wednesday, I have some discussion with the class here. Helping yourself and helping others. The number of people said helping yourself is so difficult. So helping others easier, relatively easier. So I've been thinking about last couple of months, I've been thinking about, you know, how to get this message across to my friends, you know, here at the center. So there's one practice called precious human life. The whole point, you know, as a Buddhist, that's what you're supposed to do when you wake up in the morning. You think about, you know, then time and time again, you hear from people that says, you know, like, through your friend, through directly, indirectly, you hear, you know, people don't like themselves, you know. So then, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, when he first heard through his translations that somebody's telling, asking His Holiness, is there anything they can do, because they hate themselves. His Holiness could not understand, could not figure it out. You know, so there's like, so anyway, my point here is, you know, each one of us has responsibility, because this very existence of this center is not true. I'm not thinking every year how many people become Buddhists. I never thought about that. I never encouraged anybody to become Buddhist. So what we here trying to do last 15 years, we are coming here to share our knowledge, and the knowledge that I have from Buddhist background, so I'm trying to share that, you know. So here, the precious human life, so is like, as a thinking that life is not something that you look down or you ruin or you abuse. This is, from Buddhist point of view, this is very precious. Tanjur, tenche, so meaningful, so difficult to find. So this is the message. So how we should let people know. So if you, then last Wednesday, there's conversation, you know, that people participate, we have discussions. Some people say they don't, I'm bad. Simply, according to Buddhism, that's not true. That's not true. Everybody needs to think, you know, like, in daily basis, according to Buddhism, daily basis is not the once a while. Daily basis, they just to be grateful that you are human, just to be proud as a human being. I'm so happy, and because I'm human. So how we can, not just here, you know, all our, you know, if you have children, let them also think they know how to be happy about simply they are human being, you know, and how to see that. So, it's kind of, you know, like, when you go to Nepal and India, you don't hear that. People don't say, you know, that I don't like myself. People don't say, I'm not sure why. You know, so, maybe something to do with the culture. This is not good. This is not good at all. This is not good. If you think I'm bad, that's not good. We, Shanti Deva, Shakyamuni Buddha, Lama Tsongkhapa, they're all encouraging us to think good of ourselves. Precious. So meaningful, so difficult to find. So how we can get that? So this is not type of meditations that we need to think. So, so I thought, you know, there's not, you know, so now, because before there's enough time to divide the group talk. So now there's two sessions. Each session has only 1 hour. If you divide the group, so then, then, you know, there'll be not much time. So there's something that I want you to think about, okay? Think about. You know, so you can read. So books that I usually recommend to people to read is like, you can also read here. There's also information here. Also, Lam Rim, that's been taught 650 years ago. In that book, there's called topic called Precious Human Life. So there's, you know, list of meditations and like why, there's reason why it's precious, why it's so meaningful, why it's so difficult. then like this, you know, attitude in the most developed country like Europe, same. I've been in many, many European countries. I have friends, some of them who are like psychologists. So they're patients, that's all they talk about, you know. The so somehow, you know, like this is not good. I think this is not good, you know, like thinking something negative, you know. So maybe there's something that, you know, this topic could contribute to precious human life that has maybe ability to contribute to think. So in what I can say from Buddhist point of view, you don't say I'm bad because I did something wrong. No. Why you don't say that I'm bad, no. I did something wrong, that's not good. I did something wrong, that is not good. The deed is not good. The deed can change, you know. So you don't live with that. No. Every moment, every single moment, you are fully capable to improve. So that gives me so much strength. Even though time to time you remember certain things, there's no, what do you call, could have, would have, should have, what do you call? Well, that mantra has been constantly recited. Could have, would have, should have. Like that we all have, as a human being, I have that, you know, you have, everybody has, you know, could be done a little bit differently. But you don't live with that. As a Buddhist, what you do? You purify them. Do you believe in purifications? Do you believe in purifications? I can't make you believe, but you know, you so that's what, as a Buddhist, that's what you do. You don't live with the past deeds. What you do, there is no undo button to click. So that's why you have to be careful, you know. So when you say certain things, you think twice. When you do certain things, you do twice. Think twice, because sake of your own happiness. So then you don't live. Wrong deed doesn't make you incapable to improve yourself. So that's what I'm hurting. That's what I'm hurting. When you're saying I'm bad, that's what I'm hearing. That means that you are saying there's no difference. I'm saying I'm incapable. So we don't say that, because we truly believe every second, every moment, you are fully capable of improving yourself. What you do, you purify them. So because of that, you know, if you don't like the glass that you used yesterday, but you are thinking about cleaning that glass, but you decide not to clean now, then you leave in the sink. Instead of sitting there feeling bad, oh, that glass is dirty, or maybe doing some prayer, somehow that glass will be clean automatically. But that's not going to happen. Right? So if you don't like that dirty glass, you clean. So next time, if you don't want to see that again, you just clean right away. Clean right away. You know? It's exactly like that. You buy sponge. You go to the store, you look at the good one. You know, good one. More strong one, or good one. Then you look at the chemical. Then you look them, you know, good one. Then you have brush, you know, the sponge, the soap. But, you know, these are good. It will clean, but, you know, you have to move. You can't just sit there, just wish, you know, say some prayer, sit there peacefully and wishing that glass will be clean. Or maybe, Gijisama will clean. Maybe your friend will clean, you know, like that. You know. Yeah. So, that's exactly. We don't live with that. We just clean them. If you believe in purification, that's what you do. You clean. So then, you know, we do think about what we did wrong when we are about to do some purification practice. Then we think about them deliberately, voluntarily. We bring them up. Then we take full responsibility, and we sincerely, genuinely, we take responsibility. Then we purify them. Then we make some kind of commitment from, you know, now on. I'll think very carefully, because it hurts me so badly when I think about that. So I don't want to repeat that again. So make sure know, I'll be more mindful. So then you don't repeat that, you know, then 2 days, you don't live it, you know, you don't repeat that something. 3 days, 4 days, that's progress. Then you have something that you feel good about, you know, rather than just feeling. So that's what I'm hearing when people say, oh, I'm bad, that means I'm incapable. That's not true. It's not true. So then each one of us has responsibility how to help to get rid of that mentality out of their life for good. You know, so there's no, so the precious human life has potentials to contribute. So then as a Buddhist, there's the first thing you do whenever you wake up early morning, there's the first thing you try to think, you know, about precious human life. That's how you wake up, precious human life. So then, you know, so then please, when you read about that, then please, you know, to think about how to share that message. You know? Something, you purify them, you regret, you don't feel guilt. You know, regretting towards something negative is positive. Okay? In our culture, the word doesn't exist, guilt doesn't exist. Nobody says, because even, first of all, there's no word. But we do say regret. I regret that I, you know, being very negative towards my friend. I regret that. So then regretting towards something negative is positive. Something to think good about. Regretting towards something positive is negative. Regret can be positive, negative, both. That's what we call I regret. We don't say I feel, you know, guilty. Guilty? So then sometimes, you know, that word, the guilt, been used very lightly, you know. Many occasions. Sometimes it sounds like very, like, deep and painful. Sometimes people, you know, use very lightly. So anyway, as a human being, each one of us fully capable, every minute, is each one of our lives precious. So each one of us has responsibility how to think that, you know, how to connect ourselves with that. That the important message, how to connect ourselves with this preciousness of this life. So that's so important, you know. So so that's what I've been, you know, trying to, like say, talk about last couple of months. And I've been thinking about that for many, many years, but, you know, not being very, very successful. But what do you do if somebody comes to you, oh, Gisela, my life has no meaning. No meaning. I can't, what you can do? You just feel bad. There's nothing much you can do. That person has money. Money is no problem. That person has tons of money. So now, this is something in the mind, how you can get rid of that. So then eventually, you know, so then one of my friends, when I was in Nepal 2 years ago, she's, you know, going through this, you know, attitude that, you know, she thinks that her life is not meaningful. So then when I was in Nepal, she shot herself in the hotel, went to the hotel, shot herself. That is like heartbreaking. There's really nothing I can do. So I talked to her on the phone many, many times. So then, you know, this. So that's why it's important. From now on, it's important to think this life is, you know, is meaningful. Meaningful in based on every second is fully capable to improve mentally, improve, to say something nice, you know, contribute. Like, open your heart. You know, this is all, it's important. That's why, you know, we say this beginning, the prayer that we say, may all sentient beings, what are you trying to do? You're trying to open your heart. Don't close your heart based on religious belief. You're trying to open your heart based on that belief that you have. You're trying to open. You are saying, may all sentient beings. You're not just saying, may all Tibetan beings. You're just saying, all sentient beings. Even the word, you know, just. So now the way to expand that, open your heart. So first you have to open your heart, fully open your heart, the close one, your loved one, your friend. You know, when you say, I love you, from Buddhist point of view, what you're trying to say, I'm not sure, you know, in the relationship. I became monks when I was 7 years old, and I have not much knowledge about relationship. But, you know, in from a Buddhist point of view, when you say, I love you, that means I say, love, the definition of love is to contribute something that your friend is struggling to achieve. Then you contribute. From Buddhist point of view, that's what love is means. That's what love means. I love you. It's saying I love you, but at the same time, if the person is wanting something, you're trying to become obstacles to not to get that, to stop. So that's not love. It's not love. It's just word. So then compassion means, you know, I have so much compassion. When you say, I have compassion, that means compassion means your loved one struggling to overcome from something, some difficulties. Then you contribute. So there's compassion. See, difference. Love is contributing something that your friend is struggling to get. Sake of happiness. Then you contribute. Then you can say, there's true love. Then you can say, I love. Then there's true love. Then contributing your close ones struggling to overcome from something. Like say, let's go to Shelly Lake. That's where your friend wants to go. You say, I'm not quite sure about it. Maybe how about we'll probably go to Lake Wheeler. So now there's, you know, there's opportunity to give some love, some compassion. Does it really matter, Lake Shelly or Lake Wheeler? Does it really matter? So then the Lojong, you know, like small things like that, you know, it's really amazing how much, like, minds created how much problem throughout the day, you know, so disagreement. So if you truly love, when you say, I love you, if you truly love, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You contribute. So then, you think it's easy to do? Huh? There's no the definition of love and compassion from Buddhist point of view. When you say, I love you, you know, so when I say, I love cheesecake, so I'm not sure what I'm saying. From Buddhist point of view, I'm not sure, like, I love cheesecake, so there's nothing to contribute to cheesecake. So cheesecake has something to contribute to me. So in that case, I'm not sure what it means. I'm not sure, you know. I said that, you know, since I came here, I never said that when I was in India. I never said I love cheesecake. First of all, there's no cheesecake. So we used to say I like. That's how I say in our language. That's what we say. I like. No, we don't. We never say I love. So so there's, you know, something to think about, you know. So whenever this, from a Buddhist point of view, I think it will help. It will help. You understand? Deep in between, contributing, that's love, definitely love. Then helping overcome from some difficulties. So that difficulties doesn't have to be huge. Difficulties, you know, every day, you know, you see every day, you know, making choice. Going, the example, like going to, like, Shelly Lake, or, you know, there's like challenge. Playing tennis or playing frisbee, both playing, but there's no choice to make. So, like, every day, you know, like, is sacrificing something. So, so maybe next time I think it's good to have some discussions, you know, like helping others. So in Buddhism, it's emphasized so much, you know, helping yourself is not selfish. It's important. You can help others if you can help yourself. That's all about renunciation. It's all about that. You know, not just wish. You have to have very strong desire day and night how to help myself. So in order to do that, then you have to understand sufferings, right? Otherwise, no. If there's no suffering, there's no way to help. Why you help? That's why you, that doesn't make sense. So that's why Four Noble Truths, the teachings, Four Noble Truths. The first one is Truth of Sufferings. Why Truth of Sufferings? Because Buddhism so much emphasizes that you have to think good about yourself. Yourself is precious, meaningful, difficult to find. This is the exact, you are fully capable, so this is a good time to help yourself overcome the suffering. That's why suffering is first. So now second one is how to help. Now, if you don't have this strong desire to help yourself, you can't have genuine compassion. There's not going to be compassion. First, now, in order, like the last witness that they say in the airplanes, when the, what you call that, when you go to the airplane, the crew, safety demonstrations. They even say, first put your mask on your mouth. As you say, that's very good. And then what else the other person says, last the veterans in class, they say, first you can't run if you cannot walk. If you cannot crawl, if you cannot crawl, this is not from Ashantideva's books. That's what you are saying. You cannot crawl, you cannot walk, you cannot run. So this is all same method, different way of saying. So now, you know, that's why you meditate, to help yourself. Not because you come to Kadampa Center. Not because you're Buddhist. Nobody says if you're Buddhist, you have to meditate. I've never heard. I've been monks like almost like 35 years. I never heard that you have to meditate. So there's something that you like to do, then you do. When you do, then you do it well. Or even 5 minutes, you do it well. So this is like, that's why this kind of attitude, that's what I'm saying, attitude benefiting as not altruistic is the best, if not some kind of attitude that involves to benefit. With that kind of intention, if you meditate, it makes sense, you know. This is about benefiting myself, to make my mind more calm, relaxed, peaceful. I cannot, you know, if I see some noise, if I scream, that's not good. The very purpose of meditation that I'm doing is to make my mind more calm. If I hear some noise, I don't follow them, you know, like that. So then, that's good. That's called, you know, renunciations. Then bodhicitta is called helping others. So now, you help yourself, so now you're slowly you're trying to help others. So that begins with the close one. You do that, you love the person that you love, you've been saying, I love you, you've been saying that, then you really love with the definitions. Then you give the compassion. Then you become so good in that, so then you can transform that into somebody who you don't know, strangers. Then slowly you can transform that to a person that you don't like. So then that's how it becomes universal, compassion, loving kindness. That's how it becomes four immeasurable. Immeasurable love, there's four immeasurable. That's how it becomes immeasurable. First is measure, because it's only apply. It has to begin from somewhere. If you begin with the enemy, a person that you don't like, it's difficult. It's easy to begin with somebody you love, then to transform that slowly. This is all about, you know, how to improve the mind. So much it can be done within the mind. So that's all I want to say. Okay? Yeah. And please, you try. And also, that's all we can do. We try. No. So, and we cannot expect that I'm going to be perfect. Okay? So that's also important. Like, existence, this existence is like, imperfect. Some of you may not like to hear that, but you know what we call, from Buddhist point of view, is called samsara. There will be problems. No. Like, we get headache because we have head. If you don't have head, you don't get head. You can't just complain, I have head. Why I have head? this doesn't make sense, you know, then you question why I have a hat. I wish I don't have a hat. You know, so then I don't have to spend so much money on my hair. You get headache because you have hat. Because this body changed because you have this body. So existence is called samsara, you know. So then that will help you understanding the being part of the samsara. Then your expectation will be lower, and it will also help immensely help you to overcome from the fear of being perfect. When you become perfect, then you are in, from Buddhist point of view, you are enlightened. No, then you are free of negative mind. That's what you call enlightenment. Then there you are perfect. So that's beyond samsara. It's not in the samsara, it's beyond samsara. So when in the samsara, no, there will be no difficulties, no. So we will fail. No, so then that's a part of samsara. You don't get, no. So you don't, then you don't expect your friend to be perfect because you realize your friend is also part of samsara. And you know, then it's like overcoming from fear of being perfect. So much stress comes with that, you know, being perfect. So, you know, that's the expectation doesn't meet with the reality. It's going against the reality. So that's, you know, it's like puzzle, you know. So then you have to think of this, you have to think of that. The taking care of mind is not that easy. With some deep, so you think a little bit here, there, you know. Then slowly, you put it all together, it makes sense. Okay, so then life become, you become, as according to Lama Ishi, you are going to become easy, as easy going. So then you will have compassion to yourself. Then you will have love to yourself, because you know, there's something that you can't just get angry or upset because you are not being perfect. It's not realistic. No. When you become perfect, you don't get angry. Then you are enlightened. You don't get angry. So, okay? Yeah, so maybe now stop. Now to really stop. So then please, you know, take advantage that we build this stupa. When we talk about purifications, you know, so if you just go one round, there's so much benefit. This is drawing all the energy. This like monument that we built. It's called the Buddhist holy site. You're just going one round, you know. Even like chasing by somebody, running out of your life, fear of life, get benefit. You just go around one round. I had not really 100% clear idea how it purifies, but it purifies. Easiest way to do. You can, you know, just go one round, you know. So they'll get a lot of benefit, okay? Yeah. So now really stop.
Okay, if you turn to the first pink page, we'll do the dedication verses from Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. the one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the Yellow Hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjhima's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
So last Sunday there's one question that been read by Venerable Lamula. In that question, last part of the question is like about nightmare. So then I said, you know, like recite Tara mantras. So then I look up. So there's like Tara, there's 21 Taras, Tara number 19. That mantra, if you recite, you know, it will help to you to overcome from nightmare. Okay, Tara number 19. So if you want to know the, you can talk to Chukila here. So Chukila know number the mantra, so that you can learn that mantra. Then say, so that specific Tara is to help to overcome from nightmares. Okay, yeah. Thank you.